Welcome to the Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to the Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined today by former winger Steve Froggitt, 120 appearances for the Wolves, 11 goals between 1994 and 1998, signed for £1 million from Aston Villa. Steve, how are you?
Excellent, yeah, very good. Thanks for having me on.
Good, hey, no problem at all. Steve, you've actually featured in quite a few of these teams. You featured in Gordon Cowan's, which I know you've listened to. You featured in Simon Osborne's, John DeWolf's and Neil Emblin. So there's absolutely no pressure on you, Steve.
thanks for that.
Brilliant. Now, Steve, like I said, we had a quick chat before I press record and I'd done some digging on you and I couldn't quite get your appearances right because one source says 111 appearances and 7 goals, and another one says 120 appearances and 11 goals. So which one are you going to go for, Steve?
I'll go with the second one, I think.
Brilliant. Now, sadly, Steve, you did suffer a very, very bad injury at your time at the club. But looking at these records, you actually played a lot of games for Wolves, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that it always struck me. Well, it wasn't until I went to the club 3 or 4 years ago and at the training ground, they've got 100 club and I saw my name on there. And I actually forgot how many games I actually did play for the Wolves, because when you listen to people, and yeah, I had one horrific injury that but basically took out a year of my career at Wolves. But outside of that, my playing, you know, the number of games I played was actually pretty good. I mean, I started the first 20 games of the first season I was there. Then I had that really bad injury at Christmas that kept me out for the rest of that season. And the following season was pretty much a write-off. And then there was only 2 outfield players, I think, in my third year that played more outfield games than me. And then I started virtually every game of the following season before I was sold to Coventry. So whilst I did, without doubt, I had that shocking injury that kept me out for a long, long time, which was a real disappointment for me. You know, I still did play well over 100 games for the football club.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I was actually quite surprised, Steve, because I've done a few of these and I think because of that bad injury, there is a tag and you know, the former players have said, oh, if he'd have played, you know, more games for the club, he was, you know, he suffered that bad injury. But really, your appearances, like I said, 120 appearances, Steve, is, you know, that's fantastic. And that's across 4 years, don't forget.
Yeah, I guess the biggest disappointment is that I missed the playoffs, you know, on both occasions. You know, obviously that first year, I remember when we played Southend at home, we beat them 5-0 and we went top of the league and we were absolutely, as a group, we were flying. I mean, we looked so strong, so powerful. I came off that thinking, oh, we've got every chance of getting promoted this year. You could just sense it within the group of lads. And we actually suffered some horrendous injuries across the Christmas period and thereafter. And you know, some really good players, some real characters in the dressing room, some real experience we lost. You know, and the rest is history. Obviously, we got knocked out by Bolton in the playoffs that first year. Yes. But you know, so for me, that will always go back as my greatest disappointment. And then Graham Taylor, I was still in hospital suffering with a blood clot problem, which came from me having my ankle cruciate ligament injury. Wow. And Graham got sacked whilst I was in hospital. So again, a really hideous time for me whilst as a Wolves, because, you know, I had so much respect for the boss and, you know, I'd had a lot of history with him. I kind of feel like it was always unfinished business. And even when I left Wolves, for me, when I left, it was unfinished business because we never got promoted. And I think you probably get with most of the guys who played around that time the exact same feeling, Jason.
Oh, 100%, because look, when you come to the club, as a Wolves supporter, Steve, it was a very exciting time for us because we'd started spending some money and we could see the quality coming through. Yourself, Tony Daly, obviously Jeff Thomas, and there was a real belief that we could do it, and there was obviously mitigating circumstances and several factors, but it was, like you said, it was unfinished business because we had a squad more than capable then of getting us promotion.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of Wolves fans from that time. So I've still got some very good friends in Wolverhampton, and you know, we still talk to this day about that time. It was the first time, really, that you know, I think the club had started to spend some serious money. There was a lot of excitement, and the early performances, and then the Southend game when we went top of the league. I think there was a real excitement and expectation, and I think there was just massive deflation. I think for the Wolves fans when it never happened, and then we struggled the second year, then we got in the play, and it just never happened. Even though we got in the playoffs a couple of times, we never managed to get done what we should have got done. Yeah. And when you look at the quality of the players, both in Graham Taylor's side and Mark McGee's side, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have gone up.
Oh, completely. You know, that there was very, very strong sides. And obviously, from a Wolves supporter's point of view, you know, it was heartbreaking, especially at Bolton, where, you know, obviously, you remember, obviously, Steve Ball sitting in the centre circle at the end, and it was heartbreaking. And I think it was so sad because we had such a great team, you know, and it was just, like you said, what could have been, Steve? What could have been?
Yeah, I think what was awful for me as an individual, I was still quite young. I signed for Wolves when I was 21, so I think I was only 24, not even 25 when I left the club.
Yeah,
and it was the fact Bully didn't get promoted, and that was the thing that really struck me, knowing how much he meant to the Wolves fans and still does. You know, he'd gone through all those divisions and all those years, and we never got promoted for him. Yes. And he probably, out of everybody at the football club, deserved that promotion because he'd stayed loyal for all that time.
Yeah.
So that's always... And the thing is with Bully as well, he was so good to us new signings, myself, Tony Daly. He was absolutely brilliant with us. He helped us get involved in the club. He was great all the way through my time there. So I was a bit gutted for him, really.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's nice of you to say, Steve. Now, obviously, you know, the talk about, we've discussed the injuries, but couldn't have been that bad, Steve, because you signed for £1 million and 4 years later, you know, we sold you for 1.9 million, which, to be fair, was good business for Wolves.
Yeah. Again, I mean, the story of me being sold is quite an unusual one as well, because it was in my fourth year, and I remember Mark McGee pulling me and saying, look, you're in the last year of your contract. What do you want to do? I went, I want a new one, but I want a longer term one, because the previous year I asked for just 1 year. I said, look, let's see how it goes. So I said to the gaffer, I said, look, I'm loving this, really enjoying it. We had Robbie Keane, Dean Richards. I saw the signs of a really good team for quite a few years to come, especially if we got promoted.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to sign a 4 year deal. So he's gone to the chairman. He's come back to me looking a bit sheepish. I said, what's the matter? He said, you're not going to believe this. The chairman's told me that we're going to sell you. He said, there's two or three Premier League clubs that have put bids in and you're going to go. He says, but not only that, it's worse. He's going to sell Robbie as well at some stage. And I just thought, that's really odd, because I was 24 years of age.
Yeah.
And I'd played the most amount of games I'd played in my time at Wolves the previous year, and obviously the start of that season. So that was a real disappointment to me, because I realised then, actually, you know, the chairman was as good as gold. He was completely clear. I spoke with him. I think he just wanted to recoup some of his money. It was literally, that was all it was.
Wow.
And then, you know, true to fashion, Robbie came and joined me at Coventry a few months later. I can't remember the exact dates, but it was sort of 8-9 months later. Robbie came and joined me at Coventry as per what the chairman said was going to happen.
Wow. And once again, I think if we'd have held on to you and Robbie and a few others, once again, I think we could have got to the Premier League a lot quicker.
Again, you never know. But all you can look at the players. I mean, when Robbie came and joined me, he took to the Premier League like a duck to water. Dean Richards. I mean, there's so many of those players who went on actually to be not just decent Premier League players, but really, really good Premier League players. Yeah. And I always had this feeling that if we could have kept that group of players together and gone forward together, because we were all young. We were all really, really young. None of us were coming to the peak of our careers at that time. I think we could have had a real impact. But again, history shows we failed. And that's it.
Well, Steve, I'm sure you're going to put that right now with your best 11. I'm sure you're going to pick an 11 players here who could have walked it into the Premier League. So, what formation are you going to go for, Steve?
I'm going to go with a 3-4-3. And I changed it. I'm sure all the other lads have done the same. I've changed it about 8 times, because there's 3 or 4 players that 99 times out of 100 teams I picked would have got in the team.
Yeah.
But I wanted to fit someone else in because I'm more attacking minded. And that's probably where my team was basically based on.
Oh, right, okay, very interesting then. So, who are you going to go for in goal, Steve?
Well, my number one would be Stowley. He was fantastic during my time there, a real, you know, assured goalkeeper. And actually, funnily enough, we were really spoiled for goalkeepers at that time, Jace, because we had Paul Jones. And yes. Paul actually got a bit of a raw deal, really, because Stowley was that good and hardly ever got injured. Our reserve keeper hardly ever got a game. Yet he went on to have a really good career elsewhere, didn't he?
Well, exactly. Southampton, he got a chance as well on loan at Liverpool, 50 caps for Wales. But at the time, you know, Mickey Stoll was that good between the sticks, he couldn't get in the team.
Yeah, exactly. But again, the word reliable with Mickey as well. He was 7 out of 10 every single week, never let you down. You know, came for crosses. You know, he just did everything really, really well. And yeah, but a great lad in the dressing room as well.
Brilliant. Well, so it's Mickey Stoll in goal. So it's three in defence. So I take it you're paying one in the middle and one either side.
I am. Yes, I'm going to start with my captain, which will be John De Wolf.
John De Wolf. Now, listen, John's a cult hero at the club. Yes, he only played, I think it was 28, 29 games. But what an impact he made, Steve.
He was a colossus in every sense of the word. I mean, he was a huge man. He had that. It was that Dutchness about him where he just didn't care. Nothing was going to faze him. And I think players around him fed on that because nothing would rile John De Wolf. Even the worst situations, he'd be cool with. He'd get on with it. But he had that real physical presence. He could take penalties, which was a huge bonus for a centre-half. Yep. It was great in the air. You know, if I was taking corners, I knew there's every chance he'd score a goal because he was so powerful in an attacking sense. But again, just another real big fun character around the dressing room, but a super player. And also his ability on the ball. The thing I've chosen with my three at the back, not only could they defend, but they were all very good on the ball, which would have made them all good Premier League players.
Brilliant. Well, it's a shame that obviously John, you know, wasn't part of a team that could take to the Premier League. He would have been a great leader, wouldn't he, in the top flight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. So who is going to, who's either side of John De Wolf?
Well, on the right side, I'm going to play Neil Emblem.
Neil Emblem. So, see, Neil made his debut for Wolves at centre-half and he had a bit of a shocker and then he turned into a world-beating midfielder.
This is why I love Neil. Character, because the same game I scored on my debut, I think it was Reading.
Yes.
And Neil had, like you say, he didn't have his best of times, bless him. However, a lot of players could have caved in after that game. I've seen it happen before. And he came back and was absolutely brilliant. Wherever you played him, reliable, he was decent on the ball, great engine. And I preferred him at centre-half. Because of the midfielders, I couldn't fit Neil in the middle of the park, unfortunately. So I've put him there because I think he's too good to leave out. And also, he could play from the back very, very comfortably as well.
Brilliant. So Neil gets the nod, although not in midfield. But once again, he was actually a good centre-half, wasn't he, Steve?
Yeah, and let's not forget how good he was. And I think, actually, maybe not as a two, but in a three. If you played, I mean, we played five at the back quite a lot during Mark McGee's time. Neil would have been very comfortable as one of those two centre-halves in front of a sweeper that could have come out and played.
Yes, 100%. So who is going to be the other side of John De Wolf?
Well, one player that was a real class act and one of those players that I was talking about earlier that would have gone on and taken the Premier League by storm in a Wolf shirt would have been Dean Richards.
Yes, I mean, obviously, sadly, lost too soon, but what a player.
Yeah, he really was. And again, he was softly, but he was such a nice lad as well off the pitch. You know, he was a really good lad, had no ego about him at all. But again, Rolls Royce of a player. He was so silky on the ball. He was unlucky because he had a bit of a car accident, didn't he? And he struggled for a while, but, you know, he had everything. He was great in the air. He was quick. He could defend. He was silky on the ball. And you could see with the teams he went to play on with, you know, he was a top, top quality player. And had he, you know, played in the Premier League in a Wolf shirt, he'd have been a real star.
And obviously, when he did get his chance in the Premier League at Southampton and Spurs, he was a, you know, like you said, he was sort of made for the Premier League, wasn't he, Steve?
Yeah, he was, absolutely. As I say, he was. He's everything a modern-day centre-half is now, but he was that 25 years ago, Jason. That's the biggest compliment I can place, you know, pay. Or when I played in the Premier League, all the centre-halves I played with, and let's just say I played with Paul McGrath, who's probably one of the best ever.
Yes.
Dino was up there. That's how good Dean Richards was in my eyes.
Wow, that is one hell of a compliment, Steve. So we're moving into midfield now. Are you going to play a couple of wingers, wing backs? Is that how you're going, Steve?
I'm actually going with a diamond in midfield, and you'll see why when you see the players I've picked. So
this is far too complicated for me, Steve. I might have to get another pen and paper. Okay.
In front of my back four.
Yeah.
It's Gordon Cowans.
Sid, I mean, wow. I mean, you listen to Gordon's podcast where he actually picked you in the side, and you'd obviously been with him at Aston Villa. What I mean, you talk about Rolls Royce. What was Gordon Cowans?
Well, he was fantastic. But before I go about him, the one player who's really unlucky not to get in that position was Simon Osborne, because again, another player who was brave as a lion on the ball.
Yes. When
things weren't going well, he never hid. He showed, you know, that he would take, he could take anything on the chin. But unfortunately, Gordon Cowans is probably the best midfielder I've ever played with. Wow. And I've played with Gary McAllister. I've played with lots of top midfield players. Kevin Richardson, Ray Houghton. I remember playing with Gordon as a 16-year-old in reserve game. We were playing Inter Milan at Villa Park. And from about 70 yards over his right shoulder on the half volley, he's hit this crossfield pass that literally didn't go about a yard above the turf and landed on my left big toenail. And that's when I realised I was playing with greatness. That's how good he was. Wow. I mean, he's a European Cup winner. He's everything. I know when he came to us, it was probably the back end of his career. But even then, you could just see he was, you know, he was just a level above everybody.
Yeah. And like you said, sadly, you know, he was the wrong age, really, the wrong side to be coming. But you could just see the quality on the ball. It was just, you know, he was just an unbelievable player, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, his range of passing, I've never seen anything like it. His long passes. And as a winger, a stroke player, that I, you know, you wanted the ball early. That's the first thing. You didn't want your midfield players messing around, faffing about on the ball. You wanted it one touch, bang. Sid was the best I've ever played out of that. He would have you in his mind's eye before he had the ball. And he'd have one touch and he'd ping it. And like, as a winger, he was just a dream to play with, because what you want to do as a wide man is you want to get your full back straight away as quick as possible. So that's why he was an absolutely brilliant player.
Wow. So in this diamond, who's going to go on the right-hand side, Steve?
It's going to be another former... well, actually, I was his boot boy as a 16-year-old lad. And I only caught him for a few months when I arrived. But anybody who's played football, you have these unsung heroes in your team. And this one was Paul Birch.
Birchie. Oh, I mean, once again, absolute legend at Villa as well.
Yeah, he was such a workhorse. He was a grafter. He worked all day long. You know, and I'd known him for a long time. Said I was his boot boy, a 6-year-old boy, and he was great to be around. He was such a good friend. Went on to be one of my best pals in the game during my time at Wolves and thereafter as well. He lived near me, so you know, I still miss him to this day. He's, you know, it's a real, it was a real shock when he passed away, but
yeah.
You know, he was just a star. He was one of those players who actually was so humble, but was a terrific player. He could cross a ball. He would get stuck in. It probably wasn't the best in the air because he wasn't the tallest in the world. But again, totally reliable. You could always count on Birchie all the time.
Oh wow! And like I said, once again, so sad that we lost Paul so soon.
Yeah, I'd say a real tragedy, without a doubt.
So, left-hand side of the diamond, Steve?
Well, I'm sacking myself off. I'm binning myself. I'm injured for this game, let's say.
Look, yeah, that's a shame.
I'm going to pick Robbie Dennison.
Robbie Dennison? Oh, Robbie will love that. Flipping it. I mean... Yeah. Once again,
I love the old school. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of old school wingers. It's something for me in the last 20 years has died in the game. It's great to see Adama Traore bringing that back.
Yes.
You know, bums off seats, taking fullbacks on, crossing the ball. Deno was actually nothing like me or Adama Traore in the terms of that. You know, quick speed was a big part of both of our games.
Yes.
Robbie was silky. Robbie had 2 feet. He had a couple of renaissances even during my time when I was at Wolves. And again, you couldn't wish to meet a nicer lad. And one thing I'd say to these boys, because again, 99 out of 100 of my teams would have actually had Tomo in.
Yes.
Because again, I played in front of Tomo for the first year, and he was just brilliant. But unfortunately, the way I want to play my football, I can't get a fullback in. And for me, Robbie Dennison, Tomo, Bully were absolutely brilliant in our time there, because like I say they'd done the donkey work for many years, dragging the club from where it was to the championship as it was. And they were all fantastic lads. In fact, all good friends to this day.
Brilliant. I mean, it was such a shame, really. You know, from obviously all you guys that come into the club in the like you said, the championship. But it was such a shame for those players that brought us up from the fourth division, that they didn't get the opportunity to really make it over the line.
Yeah, but that's why I love them all, Jason. Because of that, because there was no jealousy, there was no bitterness. They were proper stand on lads, all of them. Tomo, Bully, and Denno. And I say I'd love to have got Tomo in the team, but unfortunately it's just the system I played, and I don't think he'd have been as a tricky winger as Denno in all.
No,
I don't see. But yeah, Robbie was a really good player. He didn't, you know. I think, do you know what stopped Robbie from being, I think, a world-class winger was that yard of pace. I don't think he had that explosive yard that would have taken him to the highest levels. But he was two-footed. He could cross the ball with both feet, and he would take a defender on. But he'd do it with a natural trick, a natural sway of the hips, and he'd get by somebody. And like, I'm old school, so I love real old tricky wingers. And Robbie was up there with the very best of them.
Brilliant, brilliant. Robbie will be very pleased with that. Tomo will get over it. It'll be okay, Steve.
Sorry, Tomo.
Who's going in the attacking role then in this diamond?
Robbie Keane. Probably the most talented young player I'd ever played with. He was. I remember him making his debut when we played Norwich away, first game of the season. We beat them 2-0, and I remember watching him going, "Wow. You know, this kid is something else." I mean, he was 16 years of age, and he played like he was a 32-year-old. It was just incredible watching him develop. I had the great honour as well, Robbie, come and join him at Coventry, and he just took the premiership by storm. I remember Gordon Strachan pulling me, saying, "We can have Robbie Keane for, I think it was £6.5 million. What do you reckon?" And I remember, I said to Gordon, I went, "It's a lot of money, and he's very, very young." I said, "But," and I said, "also, you don't know whether a player can go from the Championship to the Premiership. He's not done it before." I said, "But he's the most gifted young player I've ever seen in my life." And when he came, he was sensational. But what Robbie could do, he, as a link-up man, there'd be no one better. He was brilliant. He would have been a great foil for the three strikers that I'm going to put in there. But he went on to be a world-class operator at every club he went at. I mean, he left us at Coventry, went to Inter Milan, where he was playing alongside the original Brazilian Ronaldo. So he's got a fair list of players, Robbie, who he's played with in his time. But yeah, Robbie was a brilliant player. Again, had arrogance. Yes. Something that I never really had as a player. I was quite quiet and shy, but Robbie just bowled in, and he would have a pop at the senior players. He just didn't care. He had that real arrogance about him, and that was the first time I realised that we were dealing with something a bit special.
I mean, I think there was a bit of an innocence about him, Steve. You know, he had a bit of a swagger and a bit of a street footballer, really. He didn't look a coached player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, he played the game. Every game I saw him play, like it was a five-a-side game, like he was playing on the park with his mates. He didn't feel the pressure. He just went and played like he was having a laugh in the park with his pals. And it takes a great player to do that, because there's not many players I've seen in my time of playing with them that have got that ability to do that. But he's trickery. I mean, because the thing is, physically, he had nothing on him. He wasn't big. He never got big throughout his entire career. He wasn't tall. So you look at him and think, what makes him so you know, really, really good?
Yeah.
But it was his brain. He had a brain of a Premiership player. He thought quicker than anybody else. His passes were ahead of everybody else, and that's why he went on to play with top clubs, with top players.
Wow. And obviously get the career he deserved. So who are the three up top, Steve?
Yeah, well, the three amigos. This was a difficult one, because I played with the likes of Ewan Roberts, who was a fantastic centre forward, but I could only go with the three I've gone. So on the right hand side, I'm going to go with my best pal outside in football, and that's Ned Kelly.
David Kelly, yeah,
He was, well, the first year I played there, he was top scorer.
Yes.
And also should have been player of the season for me. He was by far and away the best player over the course of the season. He was brilliant. I know it will get remembered for him being sent off in that infamous Bolton game, wasn't it, yeah. John McGinley, the headbutt thing. But Ned that season was absolutely brilliant. Again, someone else who didn't care, had that, he would just go out and do whatever. If I remember rightly, he scored against the Albion, which I think really endeared him to the Wolves fans that season.
Yeah. He was a West Brom fan. Well, he is a West Brom fan, isn't he, Ned?
Well, he is a West Brom fan, yeah. I mean, I always reminded him kissing the badge when he scored against West Brom, by the way. So I've never let him forget that one.
I remember Bully scoring against West Brom, and Ned, he went up to the Birmingham Road end and celebrated, and Ned pulling him away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, outside the game, we had this little triumvirate where there was me, Birchie, Ned. We all lived together, close to each other. We travelled in, and Ned's actually been a business partner of mine for brilliant. 22 years now. So,
So
my friendship with him has obviously gone on a long, long, long time with Ned. Again, massive character in the dressing room. He used to rob us all the money. I think Bully might have mentioned this before, where he was actually as good a goalkeeper as he was a striker, because we used to have penalties in the morning and he used to clear up. So if he saved one of our three penalties, he walked off with 20 quid. So he had stashes of cash leaving the training ground every day because no one could get through past him.
Oh, brilliant. So he was equally a good goalkeeper, because everywhere he went as well, he scored goals.
He did, yeah. I mean, if you look, I mean, he had more clubs than I think I had hot dinners by the time you look at his playing career. But he went to three World Cups with Ireland. If you look at who he played for, I mean, he played in a Newcastle side where him and Andy Cole were the highest scorers. Yeah. I'm not very good with facts and figures over the years, but I know he was, him and Bully's record the first season I was at Wolves was phenomenal for two strikers, the amount of goals they scored between them.
Yeah.
But again, in the dressing room, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, we had so many big, funny characters in our dressing room at the time that, so, you know, people loved coming in early because they wanted to be part of the banter. There was such a great group of lads in that team.
Brilliant. So Ned gets the nod. So who else, who are the other two strikers partnering Ned?
So left of him, I'm going to go with Donald Ralph Goodman.
Super Don.
Yeah. I played a lot of games with Don in my time there. Huge character, brilliant in the air. Again, for set pieces and corners, a great target for me to try and aim corners and crosses for, because his leap was just off the charts. He was brilliant. But he had a lot more to about his game than just that. He was also very quick. Don was, when he got his head down, he could really motor. But he could hold the ball up. He could link in with the play as well. But yeah, Don was a really good teammate. Again, another great friend off the field afterwards as well. And yeah, he would definitely be in my team.
Right, you said he was great in the air. One he done had a real aerial threat.
Yeah, again, great goal scorer. I mean, the one thing about all the strikers, again, including you and Roberts, their scoring rate, they all had phenomenal scoring records.
Yes.
I mean, I know you will be forever remembered about for his hat-trick against West Brom. But
yes, forever.
They scored lots of goals between all the strikers in my time there.
Yes, and I can't, I'm really struggling to think who's going to be in between David Kelly and Don Goodman, so you'll have to tell me, Steve.
God.
Steve and George Bull, by any chance.
That could be the one. I had so much fun with Bully, because when I went first signed for the football club, we all kind of knew about Bully. There was this legend when we came to the club. For the first 6 months, not a clue what he was talking about. I remember I was having a conversation with him, and I can remember nodding my head up and down like Churchill the dog, thinking, I've not got a clue what you're saying. And when he went out, I went, anyone got a clue? Half the lads went, nope.
Brilliant.
So it took about 8 months for me to actually have an understanding with him. And also, this was, I'll criticise him before I big him up. Where I'd come from, I was used to coming in off the wing and playing a 1-2.
Yeah.
When I played a 1-2 with Bully, it was always a 1. It never came back.
Yes.
So as I was just about to have a pop at him, he'd turn it round and smash it in the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah.
And then I'd just have to shut up. And he was just brilliant at doing that. His goal scoring record was phenomenal. He was so physically powerful. I mean, again, I've heard when I used to wind him up, he used to chase me around the training ground. But when I was having a massage, sometimes he snuck in and he pretended to give me the massage, and all of a sudden his grip around my legs. I had that many bruises on my legs whilst I played at Wolves. I'm surprised I didn't suffer more injuries in my time for Bully grabbing me and squeezing me all the time.
To be honest, Steve, I've been on the end of that grip and it is horrendous, isn't it?
Well, I know he's getting on a bit now, bless him, but I can imagine it's still exactly the same. I imagine you just wouldn't want to shake his hand and him give you that famous squeeze of his. But again, another one, when we came to the football club, because he was so revered, no, could have had an issue with me and Tony Daly and all the new set signings that were at the football club. He didn't. He was absolutely, he was golden. And as a winger to play alongside all those three boys I played up front, great. You know, get your crosses in the box. They score the goals. Obviously, strikers get all the glory anyway, don't they, as always?
Yes.
But I can't think of three better strikers between the three of them in terms of their goal scoring exploits. But Bully, again, top of the tree. He was as strong as an ox. He was fierce to play against. You know, even when especially when you went away from home and you needed to hold the ball up and you needed someone to fight their corner. He was brilliant. Well, you don't play for England and do what he did unless you were a real top striker.
Oh, exactly. And look, his doubters used to knock him with the old, you know, oh, he's got no first touch. But the joke was, his second touch was normally in the back of the net. And like you said, you're coming in from the wing expecting a 1-2 and you wouldn't get it back. And then he'd rifle it in the bottom corner. Yeah, and you'd be like...
Absolutely. I mean, he frustrated the life out of me sometimes. But when you see what he did, you realised why he was so great and why he was so loved and revered. But again, in the dressing room, brilliant in the dressing room. Him, Tomo, Deno, the older boy, is absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's some real characters in that time. I mean, Jeff Thomas is another one who's very unlucky not to get in the side. But I didn't play a great deal with Jeff because he signed quite a few months before me, and then he had that really bad cruciate injury. The few games I did play with Jeff, you could see if he'd have been fit, Jeff would have walked into my team because clearly he was a massive influence in the dressing room, a really top player, great athlete. But unfortunately, he didn't play that many games, and I think his injury did affect him once he'd come into the side.
Yeah, that's true. But once again, you know, obviously he played for England. He was the captain of the club, but I think Jeff is one where, I know they've said it about you, Steve, with injuries, but I think, to be fair, Jeff is one where, you know, we didn't really get to see the best of him because of his injury, sadly.
Yeah, well, I think Jeff only played about, I think he played less than 50 games all told, I think, didn't he, in his career at Wolves, which was a real shame because, as leaders go, I think Jeff would have been the difference. In fact, the big thing is, Jeff would have been the difference between us going up and not had he been fit, because I think he was such a leader. I think like Roy Keane, that sort of character, he'd have dragged us forward on the, yes, all of us on the pitch, and I think his influence would have got us through over the finishing line. So he was one of those players in that first season that was a massive miss.
Yes. 100%. And this side, Steve, who, well, I think I can guess, who are you going to get to manage it?
Has to be Graham Taylor. Yeah. Graham signed me as a 14-year-old boy at Aston Villa. I'll tell you a funny story because I could have played for Ireland when I was at Aston Villa. And right. Jack Charlton came over to see me. And obviously I played in the team with Paul McGrath, Steve Staunton, Ray Howans. So they weren't putting much pressure on me, as you can imagine. So anyway, I got a phone call from Graham Taylor. And obviously, I'm English. My mum's Irish. I'm English. My dad's English. So my dad wanted me to play for England anyway. But I got a phone call from Graham Taylor. He went, "If you meet Jack Charlton, I'll never speak to you again."
So that was the end of the Ireland gig.
So needless to say, I was playing for England under 21s like 5 days later. And then he signed me for Wolves. So Graham is... Well, again, sadly missed. I mean, he was probably the biggest influence on my career all the way through, because I remember when I went on to work for Radio 5 Live, I spent many happy times with Graham in the media boxes, catching up, talking about football. I mean, his knowledge was second to none, absolutely immense. But you get a lot of players, you know, I know Dave Kelly thinks this, when he looks at all the managers he's played with, they'd say he was probably the best manager they ever played with, because I remember I'd signed for the Wolves, and I lived over Sutton Coldfield way. Yeah. And I got called into the gaffer's office after about 6 or 7 weeks, and he went, "Do you know the house you bought? Can you afford it?" I went, "Yes, boss." Thinking out, first, how does he know where I live? And he went, "Who's that strange blonde-looking woman in your house. I'm thinking, was my missus there? Because she's bond. Bit strange calling a woman strange looking in my house. Yeah. And then I thought, we had a cleaner in. So she was getting on a bit, bless her, the cleaner. But the fact he knew, he'd obviously driven all the way over to find out where I lived, make sure I was behaving myself. I mean, he had a network of people everywhere. So if you were out, he knew about it the next day. And he got called into the office. But on and off the pitch, Graham was for me, like, just an absolute diamond, a real gentleman. And, my biggest regret, other than the Fab Bully not getting promoted with the Wolves, was Graham Taylor not taking him up, because I think that would have been so good for him to have got us over the line.
And I was going to say, when he got sacked, I mean, you must have felt for him, because really, you know, he was doing everything right off the pitch with the infrastructure of the youth setup. And I just think if he'd have been given more time, I mean, it was a travesty sacking him when they did. If they'd have given more time, I think he would have definitely got us up, wouldn't he, Steve?
I think the chairman, Jonathan, was a bit naive. He wasn't really a football man. I was injured. Tony Daly was out at the start of the second year. We didn't start well. As everyone knows, the championship season's a long, long season. It's not all done and dusted after eight games. And that was the real travesty, I think, for Graham. And like you say, a lot of where Wolves are today, based on the training ground, was a lot down to Graham. He designed it all. He originally got the chairman to invest in the training ground, to get things up and moving. So as the club evolved over the years, those seeds were set by Graham a long, long time ago.
Wow. Now, your team then, Steve, so you've gone for a 3-4-3, diamond, to make it even more tricky for me. So you've got Mickey Stoll in goal, three across the middle, John DeWolf in the centre, Dean Richards to the left and Neil Emblin to the right. The diamond in midfield, you've got Gordon Cowans as the defensive midfielder, Robbie Dennison on the left, Paul Birch on the right, and Robbie Keane, the forward man in the diamond. And then you've got your three strikers of David Kelly on the right, Don Goodman on the left, Steve Ball in the centre forward, number nine spot, and the manager, Graham Taylor. Are you pleased with that, Steve?
I am. We probably would have conceded a few goals with the lack of fullbacks, but I was always attacking. So, yeah, I'd have liked to have scored more than we'd have conceded.
I think we'd have probably won about 5-4 with this team. But Steve, once again, thank you so much for your time today, because I know I've been battering you for a few weeks. But listen, I appreciate you coming on. That's an absolutely fantastic team. And one thing I want to refer to, Steve, you've said a few times, Wolves has been sort of your club effectively, you know, or some way. Are you a Wolves fan, Steve?
No, I'm not a Wolves fan, obviously not. But I love my time there. I had, despite the injury that happened, I had the best time ever. I didn't want to leave when I left. Yeah. I was sold, I think, before I wanted to go. And I've got nothing but fond memories there. Both my kids were born during that time. Yeah, I had the best 4 years ever, honestly. I love the club. I've still got lots of friends there. And I'm absolutely delighted to see that they're back where they belong, on the top table in the Premier League. And it's brilliant for the Wolves fans. They're very, very lucky to have the group of players they've got right now. But from my own point of view, I loved it. I had a great time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Steve. Well, we do want to get you back on the Wolf Whistle for your full story. You know, we want to talk about, obviously, your entire 4 years at Wolves. So I want to thank you for your time today, for picking such a great team. And we look forward to speaking to you soon.
My pleasure, Jase. Take care.
Thanks, Steve.